I saw a chap wearing a shirt not so long ago that said across the front of it, "I'm not drowning, I'm just sinking." I wanted to go up to him and say, "Was your name Peter?" But it stayed in my mind, and most of the shirts that you, t-shirts that you see that have got printing on them, you didn't really want to repeat. But that one stayed in my mind. I'm not drowning, I'm just sinking. And there very often is in the course of our life times when we feel that we actually are sinking. Things are getting on top of us. As I give my short reflection this evening in this homily, you might think of the thing that is causing you the greatest doubt, the greatest fear, the greatest bit of anxiety right at this very moment as you sit here in the peace of this beautiful church. What is the one thing that is getting at you at this moment? As you ponder that, you might be able to come a little closer to the intent behind tonight's gospel from Matthew. It's very obvious that the scripture scholars tell us that this gospel was written some time after Jesus' resurrection. So the event, the language, and what's actually happening, the characters, are in a sense symbolic of a bigger meaning, a much bigger meaning. There are only 11 verses, and there are probably 11 different meanings hidden behind each verse as it unfolds. Firstly, we have Jesus sending the disciples, all of the disciples, into the boat. So that's all of the people. The boat is always the symbol of the church. So we try to apply the gospel to our life here and now. So this boat, and as I've said before, you're not a ship of fools. This boat in tonight's gospel represents the church, and all of the disciples are in this together. And they are doing what I asked you to do at the beginning of my homily. They are pondering their greatest anxiety. Because as this gospel was written, they were, the church was, being persecuted, both from the Romans and from Jewish authorities. They lived in genuine fear, a fear that most of you would never know. However, you would know the level of anxiety, that awful feeling in your stomach and your heart, because something is going on in your life that you seemingly have no control over. It's an awful feeling. And quite naturally, that leads to fear, it seems to me. And then when fear enters our anxiety, our life with what's going on in our life, when fear enters, closely followed by doubt. And that's unfortunate for a Christian to have doubt. And so Matthew has put this gospel together to support the church, us, but the church in his time who had doubt, which was as a result of the fear that they were living in. So he has Jesus, we're told, going up the mountain. And I've spoken on that in the last couple of weeks. When God gets mentioned on the mountain, you know something big's going to happen. So Jesus goes up the mountain, and it says to pray. So he's on his own. The disciples are together, and they are battling the winds and the sea. And it's an interior sea, the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. It's not an ocean sea, but it's below sea level. And so it is vulnerable to all sorts of turbulence that is created through temperature changes. And it gets really volatile, this sea, the interior sea. So the sea and the chaos and the wind and the rain and all of that, That represents for us the story of creation. How there was the chaos and the anxiety and the fear that existed before God put his spirit. He actually breathed his spirit onto the waters, if you remember the creation story. And it brought calm. And that's what Matthew is doing here. He's gone back and he's pulled in a bit of Genesis. He's pulled in a little bit of Exodus and a little bit of Kings. And we got the first reading there from the book of Kings. And I mentioned it last week about Elijah, who ran away from a very nasty queen, Jezebel. And she was a horrible bit of works, actually. And he ran away for fear of his life. And he ran up into the mountains and he hid in a cave. And then, as I mentioned, and you've got it read out to you tonight, word mentioned it last week, but it's read for you word for word tonight. It wasn't in the wind, the violent wind. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire that he encountered God and regained his courage. It was in the gentle breeze. That gentle breeze is the same as the breath of God back in creation. And Matthew takes all of that and he puts the breath of God into Jesus, who comes across the water to them as the Spirit breathed across the waters in the chaos at creation and made all things that were uncertain certain. All the doubt was removed. Fear was removed and it was replaced by courage and life and vitality. And that's what we aim for. So the symbolism in the gospel is something which you and I live, it seems to me, for the most part of our life. There is a lot of joy, a lot of great happiness in our life, but one headwind event that comes into our life causes us such angst, such pain, that we feel that we are completely alone and that we're sinking. Perhaps not drowning, but at least sinking. And it's then that our faith either kicks in or fear kicks in and dominates. If fear kicks in, chances are we're going to drown. And you'll notice that in this conversation, there is no raising of the voice. That's what happens when fear takes over and doubt takes over. People raise their voice. It's probably an insecurity in some things. In the military sense, we raise our voice to make sure that the individual or individuals that we're talking to have absolutely no doubt what it is I want you to do and when, which is do this now. And it's usually because of a life-saving issue. Usually. So that's why commands are shouted out, because we need an instant response. But outside of that, that part of life, to raise your voice, to be shouting at people, is usually associated with a power or a dominance or an insecurity. But you will notice in the anxiety of tonight's story, in the gospel, that it's the gentle breeze. Jesus calmly comes across the water. Peter is just like you and I. He has doubts. We all have them. We have our doubts and our failures. He begins his conversation by saying, if it is really you. So like he's got doubts. And then he still steps out of the boat. So he's got courage. There's no doubt about that. But those doubts start to take over. And then Jesus doesn't shout at him. He uses the gentle breeze. Why did you doubt? But before that, he just said, come. And that come was strong enough to put the doubts in the background, at least for a little while. Just for a little while. And then, of course, it was Jesus who reached down and picked Peter up, rescued him. So Matthew is saying to us through his gospel that the church, through its doubts and through its fears, through the individuals, you as disciples in this church, in this world, with your doubts and your fears, You may feel as though you are sinking. You don't need to say if you are really there. We know he is there. It's just that we can't see him. So it causes us a bit more angst. But if we really believed he was there, we know that we will be able to ride this out. What the outcome of our angst and anxiety is, we sometimes do not know. We may have a hope or a dream, but how it will turn out, well, mostly we don't know. And it seems to me that anxiety and fear, these things come to the fore in our lives, right, to the dominant force in our life when we have issues or conversations about death or about the major course of our life, a huge turning event in our life. So for people of faith, we should be able to embrace with our faith the courage to move into this event or whatever it is. We should be able to. But there's a fair bit of Peter in each of our DNA, I think, and sometimes we just lose that battle. And then, because we are a community, we rely on each other to pick ourselves up, to dust ourselves down, to perhaps wipe each other's tears, but gently pick each other up, and we move on, and we conquer this thing. We do not do this alone. So as I suppose I contemplate my own life, and I have no major issue going on that I'm aware of, if there is, could you please tell me, I kind of think of what would people say at the end of my life, what would my eulogy be? And I would be comforted now if somebody could stand up and say something like, well, Richard, he was unsinkable. And not because he didn't have failures or he didn't have fears, but because he continued on despite those.